trust is one of those things that kind of one of his main things was, are we spending time with God? Are we in his presence? Are we talking with him? Are we in his word? And one of the things I want to talk about tonight is just something that Pastor Lynn actually just briefly touched on Sunday morning. And it was one of the very first opening things that he mentioned. But he was talking about the Holy Spirit. And so we're in the season of Pentecost right now, right? June 4th is Pentecost Sunday when the Holy Spirit came down. And we all know that story in the book of Acts. Great story. But the point of it is this. One of the things that I absolutely think is incredible for us to think about, the Old Testament, we look at all of these great men and women of God, right? We look at these people like Moses and Noah and David. And we look at these people and a lot of times we say, man, I want to meet David someday, right? When I go to heaven, I want to talk to David. He's a cool dude. And they experience these amazing things. But one thing that we know as Christians in today's world is that they didn't have the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of them. For us, every person who has Jesus as their Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of them, right? So Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 16 through 18, I'm going to read it real fast here. John 14, 16 through 18, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The truth, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So for the body of Christ, one of the things that we can think about is we can recognize that with the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, I believe this, and Jesus said this, that you'll be able to do greater things than even Jesus did on earth. That's what Jesus said. You'll be able to do even greater things than I, right? So the question that Pastor Lynn asked that honestly, the last couple of weeks, I've thought about this a lot. And I've actually had several people that I've met with in different circumstances and different situations where this one topic has come up. But he said this. He says, how many of you were cognizant this week of the Holy Spirit in your life? And he saw a couple people like, oh yeah, I was thinking about the Holy Spirit this week. But it's a great question to ask. And I want you to just ponder it for just a second. How many of you in here this last week have truly been cognizant? In other words, you knew it, you recognized it, and you lived in such a way that the Spirit of God was present in your life this week. So probably most of us are not going to just raise our hand and be like, yeah, I did that all the time, like every day, every second of the day, right? How would that change our lives if we truly lived in such a way that we believed that the Spirit of God was present in our lives on a regular basis, right? Multiple people that I've talked with, one of the things that we've even discussed a little bit is in our life, when it comes to maybe we're dealing with some things, we need to get rid of some things in our life, or we're just trying to become a better man, trying to become a better woman of God, right? One of the things that I think can really help us is that recognition that, God, the Spirit of God is in my life right now. That when I'm getting ready to make a decision, I'll just be honest with you. And I'm Pastor Rob, so I've got Pastor Reverend in front of my name, right? But not every time I get ready to make a decision do I go, all right, God, help me here, right? If I'm just going to be honest with you, I don't always do that. And sometimes I end up in a spot where I look back and I go, oh yeah, duh. Right? And so for me, I'm really working on, specifically this last few months, I'm really working on even the simple things in life, the little things in life, recognizing that God is present with me right now, right here, specifically in this room, God is with me. One of the things that I've been working on, and I heard this a while back, and I'll just be honest with you, it kind of went over my head and it didn't become as big of a deal. But I'll tell you one of the things that I've been working on and that just really, I believe, can change your life when it comes to the presence of God. So you might say, and this is one of the things that I've been working with some people on. I've had several people in the last couple of weeks come to me and just say, I just don't feel the presence of God anymore in my life. I just don't recognize that God is present in my life anymore. What do I need to do? Man, back in the day, man, I would come to praise and worship and I just felt God everywhere, right? You just felt the presence of God. It was so good. What do I need to do? Am I doing something wrong? And I think that's a great question to ask, right? I think a lot of people go through that. And one of the things that I think is important for us to recognize that I'm going to talk a little bit about tonight is that God is always present. Number one, one of the main things, one of the main promises of God that we have is that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us, right? Jesus himself said that he's not going to leave us as an orphan. He left us the Holy Spirit of God. So if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the Spirit of God living inside of you. So then you might still ask, well, what does that mean then? Because I don't feel the presence of God. Like I'm just going around in my life and I don't get that sense. And maybe one of the things that I think is really important is I would ask the question, and I ask this question a lot, but I think it's a really good question to ask. And I'm not tooting my horn on that. I'm saying I think this is a good question for every one of us to ask. What are we focusing on? What are we looking at? I've got a friend who is a psychiatrist, psychologist, counselor. I don't really know what he is, but he does counseling stuff. And one of the things that he always does is he always has an empty chair sitting at the table whenever he talks with people. And it's kind of funny, when people walk in and they get ready to sit in that chair. He's like, oh, no, don't do that, don't do that. And you're like, whoa, what's going on right now? And he always kind of makes a joke of it, and he says, well, the Holy Spirit's sitting right there. So, you know, you can't sit on him, duh. But kind of, it's goofy, we get that, right? You laugh a little bit. But it really makes you think, are you truly recognizing the presence of God in the room? So for us, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us, right? But I think it's really good to maybe even just visualize sometimes, to do some things for us as Christians. What are we focusing on? Do we recognize on a daily basis that when we go through life, that when we're making decisions, that when tough things are coming up, that the Spirit of God literally is in the room with you? Amen? I think that's really, really important for us to ask the question. For me, I think it's really important to also understand that sometimes, this is a very key thing, I think, to living a Christian life. Sometimes our feelings don't line up with truth. That shouldn't be a duh to anyone, right? That's pretty simple, basic, foundational type stuff. But just because we feel something does not make it valid or make it right. And one of the things that I want to encourage you, I want to just maybe inspire you tonight to think about is when you're going through tough stuff in life, I'm going to read a bunch of scripture in a minute, and hopefully it'll be less me talking, it'll be more just the Word of God going out and encouraging some people tonight. But I want to truly encourage you tonight that God is with you. He does not leave us. Amen? He does not walk away from us. He is always there. He's always present. He's always faithful. Amen? We have a promise in God's word that he'll never leave us. So Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid. You know, sometimes we can go through life and we can just fear. Fear can be a big deal. That's one of those feelings that when you fear, it can totally just make it where people can't even move, right? Sometimes people can't even run when they're in fear. One of the things that's really important here is don't fear. Why? He will not leave you nor forsake you. Your God, the Lord himself, will be with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. Amen? I think that's just good stuff to just be encouraged about. Sometimes we really can be going through life, and you might be just up against a wall in life. You might be up against some crazy situation that you go, well, you just don't understand. This is a big deal. You're right. I might not understand, but guess who does? The guy in the room, right? The guy who wants to be there with you. And Pastor Lynn gave the example on Sunday. I thought it was awesome. The Holy Spirit might be sitting there going, hey, I'm over here. I'm in your life. I really want to be there. I want to help you. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And then we do it, right? And then what is he doing? Sometimes, I believe every time, he's going, all right, I'm still here. I want to help you. I want to encourage you. I want to love on you. I want to get you to a better spot in life. I want to help you to make decisions. And we're still doing our thing. And we're still doing our thing. And we're still doing our thing. Does that mean, and this is a big question, does that mean that when we fail, when we mess up, when we just do the worst that could be done, does the Spirit of God walk away from us? Very important question to ask ourselves, because a lot of times I really do think that we walk through life thinking, well, that was it. I missed that turn, right? A couple weeks ago, Pastor Lynn talked about, he used the example specifically about meeting the one, right? You are looking for the one in your to be able to marry, and that one person on the entire face of the planet is going to be the one for you, right? What happens when you miss it? Well, that screws it up for everybody, right? If that principle really does apply, that just messes it up for everybody, because as soon as Dianita finds the right one, wait a minute, that was actually supposed to be Leah's, and then Leah now has to find someone else, and then, oh well, she found Danielle's person, and so that's weird, right? But what we do get is I don't believe that that's the way that the principle and the Word of God tells it, right? That when we screw up, what does the Bible say? That God is faithful and just to cleanse us, right, of all unrighteousness, to wipe it away from our, to completely wipe it away. As a matter of fact, he says in his word that it's as far from the east as from the west. Like he forgets about it. He doesn't even know about it anymore. Do we believe that? Do we truly believe that in our life? Grace is such an incredible thing. And I just believe for us, I really felt this today when I was praying about this, that God wanted someone in this room, multiple people in this room tonight, to hear that he loves you, he's never leaving you, he will never forsake you, he will always be there for you. Amen? There's nothing that you can do to walk away from him and him not be in the room. He's always there for you to turn to. He's always there, no matter what mistakes you make, he's always there for you to turn to, and he's willing to give you his grace. Isn't that awesome? That's the gospel, really, in a nutshell right there. That no matter what we've done, no matter what we've been through, no matter what we've experienced, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is in the room with us right now. Ezekiel 34:11 says, "I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out." How cool is that? The God that we serve is a God who seeks you out. Lots of times we sit there and we think, oh, I've got to find God. I got to go search for him. I got to, you know, man, I must have walked so far away that I got to go look really hard for him now. I want you to truly just remember that God is in the room with you. That's a big deal, guys. Think about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords being in the room with you. Amen. I truly even just think about it from this perspective. I've got three kids. If one of my kids were to mess up, think about it from your perspective. If one of your kids were to mess up, would you just boot them away and never want to see them again? Even just some of the worst stuff in the world, and I get discipline and I understand some of those things that might take place in those scenarios, but as a dad, I can never, ever imagine saying, oh, well, that was the last straw for you. You're done, right? We have the perfect father. We have the absolute perfect father who loves unconditionally, who loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, right? While we were yet sinners, Christ died. That's the father that we have in our life. So he's not walking away from us. So a couple things before I just read a bunch of scripture here, why is it then that our feelings feel the way that they do? Why do our feelings feel sometimes like, well, I just don't know. God must have walked away from me. I just must have made that last straw, right? And he just must not be in our life. I'm going to say this, and this is maybe very generic, and I'm going to keep it generic on purpose. But I truly believe sometimes we are just not truly cognizant of the fact that God is right there waving his arms in our face saying, I want to love on you. I want to help you. I never left you. I'm right here. Let me walk through this with you. So what does that mean? That means what? That means we got to spend time with him, right? My sheep hear my voice. Why? Because they spend time with them. A shepherd, that voice of the shepherd, those sheep know it. And I've seen it. I've walked out there with Pastor Lynn at his farm, and he's got all of these sheep. And I'm telling you, when he drives in and when he begins to do his little voice thing that he does, they all just perk up. And it's like, hey, God referred to us as sheep on purpose because sheep are kind of dumb, right? To be honest with you, I'll talk about myself. I'm not talking about anyone else in this room. Sheep are kind of dumb, right? But what they do know is they do know the voice of their father because they've spent time with the voice of their father, if you can say it that way. Cattle are a different thing. Cattle are dumb, but they're smarter, right? They look at you and they're like, yeah, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not going to follow you. I'm going to come over here and I'm going to chew my cud over here and do my little thing. But sheep, they know the voice of their father, right? So here's what I want to do tonight. And I'm just going to do this for a couple minutes. I've got a bunch of scriptures. I truly believe that when we recognize that God is present, that that's going to help us with every one of these situations. So number one, Psalms 91:15. When they call to me, I will answer them. When they're in trouble, I will be with them. That's good stuff. Amen. When they call to me, I will answer them. When they are in trouble, I will be with them. Psalms 94:17-18. If the Lord had not helped me, I would not have gone quickly to the land of silence. I said, I am falling, but your constant love, O Lord, held me up. Matthew 28:20. Do not be afraid, I will save you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through waters, I will be with you. In your troubles, you will not be overwhelmed. When you pass through fire, you will not be burned. The hard trials that will come will not hurt you, for I am the Lord your God, because you are precious to me, and because I love you and give you honor. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. And I just read all of that and realized that is not Matthew 28:20. That is Isaiah 43:1-5. Isaiah 43:1-5. But that's good stuff, amen? So through all of the trials, through all the stuff, through everything that you're going through in your life, can we apply that to our life? I 100% believe yes, we can. When you're going through the fire, when you're going through the waters, when you're passing through all of these hard trials, they will not hurt you because I, the Lord, your God, am with you. Do we believe that? Do we trust in God in such a way that we've spent enough time with him that we can take that at face value? Matthew 28:20. This is actually Matthew 28:20 right here. I will be with you always to the end of the age. Very simple. John 14:18. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. 2 Timothy 4:16-17. No one stood by me the first time I defended myself. All deserted me, but the Lord stayed with me and gave me strength. So I'll say this. Sometimes we think about trust from this human perspective. And as soon as one person decides to break that trust with you, what do we end up doing? We end up putting every life scenario into the same category. That, well, I guess I can't trust anyone. Or it's amazing. Sometimes we really can get to a spot where we even begin to paint God in that same picture as the people who have messed us over, as the people who have hurt us. I want to encourage you in this, that God is the God who is faithful, who will never leave you, who will never forsake you. I'm going to probably say that 10 more times tonight because I really do feel like that's for someone tonight. But Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of need. We all know this scripture as well, but I just felt like I needed to read this because this to me is a painting of God in our life. And it's a painting. I think every one of us in a way could maybe even put our own life into this one painting, this one scripture, Psalms 23, right? The Psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Amen. You are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here's one of the things that I just want to get out today. I want you guys to be encouraged in this. Number one, that God is with you, right? He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So truth says what? God is there. God's sitting in the room with you right now. God is in your heart right now. God is present. He wants to help you right now. Amen? He's a father. He'll never forsake you. The enemy of your soul says what? You're worthless. God has walked away from you, right? God isn't present in your life because whatever reason. He begins to tell the lies to you. And I want to just make sure that we understand today, do we believe truth or do we believe the feelings? Do we walk by our feelings or do we walk by what truth says? And sometimes when it comes to truth, truth is one of those things that sometimes you have to walk in faith when it comes to truth, right? But what do we do as Christians? We walk by faith, not by sight. So if we see the negative stuff coming in our life, if we see the problems that are around us and the situations, we can begin very quickly to fear. We can be very quickly begin to think about all of the what ifs and what if this happens and what if that happens. But I want us to think about the fact that God is in the room with us. And I've used this example a lot the last couple months, but I just think about it like this. And maybe it's because I've got kids and it's just that time of life right now with them. But they're at that size where they still love to hold my hand. And I love holding their hand. Like even my 9-year-old the other day, we were at Lowe's, walking out of Lowe's, he reaches up and grabs my hand. I'm like, yes, still good, right? Still feels so good. And I think about it from the perspective that so many examples that we have in the Bible is the idea that God is our Father and that we are His Son. And I truly just think that if we could walk along with this perspective that I've got my Father's hand and He's going to lead me and He's going to guide me. Goofy story. I don't even know if I should share this, but I'm going to. So pray with my daughter the other day, and we get done praying and all that kind of stuff. We always pray for all kinds of fun stuff. We all pray together. And then at the very end, she goes, Daddy, what if bad guys come in our house? And my very first response was, I'll shoot them. That was literally my first response. And she's like, what about God? That was literally her response. And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, that too. Like God will protect us. And so her thing now is, so if bad guys come in our house, God will protect us and you'll shoot them. Yes, that's exactly what's going to happen, baby. So kind of a goofy thing. But at the same time, I think about that from this perspective that my daughter looks to me in many ways as her protector, right? We grow up as adults and we get on in life and we think we're great and we're doing life. And somehow we forget the fact that our dad is in the room with us, right? My dad passed away several years ago. And I'll tell you this, I still to this day, just think about, I wish I could pick up the phone and call my dad for advice in something, right? I still to this day think that way, that gosh, I wish I could just call my dad and ask how you cut that. How do you do that? What's that one thing? And the cool thing is that God's present in our life. And we forget about that. We walk along and we make decisions. We do all these things. And the guy who has all the knowledge is right there with us. And we forget about that. So for us to have that idea that what is truth? Well, the truth of the matter is that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is right here in the room with us. I'm going to give you a couple examples that these are things that I'm working on that I've collected from other people that help me in different areas, okay? So the one question that I would ask first is, are we purposefully recognizing God in our life? So one example is the chair. And I love this example. I use this sometimes when it comes to even people in my deal. Do we look at the fact that the Spirit of God is in the room with us? Sometimes, and I'm a visual guy, so if you're not a visual person and you're just verbal or whatever, just listen to my voice and you'll learn it. But for those like me who need to see the picture, maybe you need to do something like this in your life sometimes. Maybe you need to visualize, is God in the room with me right now? Is He present with me right now? And when you do that, it changes the way you see things. One example of that, that I remember hearing this back years ago at a worship conference that I went to, and it changed the entire way that I worshiped. But, and I even look right now, so I look right up there in that one spot. So just bear with me, okay? Maybe this is goofy to you, but it's not to me, so don't laugh at me or anything like that. But truly, what I do, there's times where, so for 10 years, and I'm not the worship director anymore, Danielle is, and she's rocking it, but for 10 years, I was the worship pastor. And one of the things that just going to be honest with you, you can call me reverend or not, but here's truly the matter of the fact, right? Many, many Sundays I would come here and I would not feel like worshiping God, right? How many of you sometimes just don't feel like worshiping? Just don't feel like getting into the Word. Just don't feel like it. Well, one of the things that really helped me was recognizing that I am truly about to enter into the presence of God. And when that happens, so number one, the presence of God was already there. All it was that I was doing was recognizing that, was being cognizant of the fact that God's in the room. But I truly began to close my eyes and to truly recognize that I am entering into the throne room of God. That's a powerful deal. If you close your eyes and you recognize there is a throne in the room and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is sitting on that throne, that helps you to recognize this is a bigger deal than just me standing in a room with a bunch of people. The fact is, and Scripture is very clear on this, that you are entering in with all of creation when you worship God. That's cool. So you visualize, man, I'm entering in and there's angels around us right now. We're in this place and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is with me. So I've heard a lot of people say, this is one of the suggestions that I give. Well, what do? I just don't feel like, I don't know. I just don't really get into worship anymore. I just don't really like it. I just come for the word. I just come for whatever. Here's one of the things that I would encourage you in. Visualize the fact of what you're actually doing. It'll change the way you think, because when you enter into the presence of God, guess what? You're in the King's room, right? So I think about this from the perspective of a lot of people are really good at sharing their thoughts on Facebook, but they're not very good at sharing their thoughts in person. We live in a generation like that. People are really good at bad-mouthing the President of the United States because it's all on Facebook and it doesn't really matter, right? If you were to walk into the Oval Office and the president, no matter who that person was standing in front of you, would you speak the same way? Would the same things apply, right? Would you probably do things a little bit differently. Maybe we're not supposed to use that as an example of a throne room, but it's about as close as we get when it comes to the United States, right? When you are in the presence with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you are going to act differently. Amen? Another thing, got this from Pastor Lynn, and I love this. So Romans 8:11, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead also gives life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So you can laugh at this, and that's okay. I won't get my feelings hurt because Pastor Lynn's the one who I heard this from originally. So, but it is kind of a funny thing to think about. But if you're sick in your body, one of the things that can be really good is to literally visualize the fact that God is fighting a battle for you. That the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, he dwells in you. And if he dwells in you, he's going to fight a battle for you. Sometimes you got to visualize that. You got to visualize the fact. So one goofy little thing that I'm just going to throw out there for you, close your eyes and visualize the fact that there is a battle taking place in your life. And guess who wins that battle every single time? Right? The same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead brings a life to your mortal body. Sometimes it takes us focusing on something different. Sometimes when we're looking at what's in front of us, and it might be the fear of whatever kind of disease or whatever kind of hurt or problem in our body, that can be the big focus. And it's hard to look away from that. So sometimes we got to visualize these things. This is just practical little things. But when we visualize it, what does that do? That helps to stir the gift of God on the inside of us, helps to stir up faith, to believe that God can do what he said he was going to do. Amen? One of the things that I think is easy to do is to focus so much on just the problems around us. But what are we looking at? What is the main point of it? And I'll say this. If God is present and we don't see him, what do we need to do? We got to take a step of faith. Amen. We got to visualize. We got to look at what are we looking at? I'll say it even a little bit further. When it comes to the word of God in our lives, we walk by faith and not by sight, right? The word of God has to be in our lives. And Pastor Lynn said this on Sunday, and I think it's very crucial. If we're just talking about scripture, scripture is good and that needs to be in there, but the word himself wants to have a relationship with you. And if we could visualize and picture the word of God being our daddy who wants to hold our hand and walk us through life, the trials and the circumstances and the problems of life, I'm telling you, it's going to change the way that we live. Amen. So couple things. Trust comes through time spent, right? We already know that. Trust comes through time spent. And trust comes from focusing on God's stuff. When you go through a problem in life and maybe someone's hurt you or someone's done something to you, when you focus on the problems, what's going to happen? You are not going to trust, right? But when you focus on the good stuff, when you focus on the fact that, all right, yeah, cool, you're building boundaries, you're doing these things in your life, what happens? You begin to build trust again, right? You begin to do those things. So spending time with God is absolutely going to help you to build your trust that he is faithful, that he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. My brother wrote a song, and I just wanted to play it for you guys. hope it encourages you. Once it's done, I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to get out of here. But just listen to the words, and it truly just has to do with the fact that he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. I just felt like I needed to play it. So go right on ahead. Boom. Father, I do just pray for every person who's in here tonight. God, I don't know who you're just dealing in their heart with, God, but I do believe, Father, that you are present in our life, that you'll never forsake us, you'll never leave us, you'll always be here. God, I thank you that that can be an encouragement to us, that just like the song said, that that word can truly be our guide, that when we recognize that you're present in our life, that you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us, you'll walk through the valleys with us, you'll walk through the trials with us, that we can know that you've got our back, you're with us, you're present, you're going to fight the battles for us, you've already fought them, and you won. So we thank you for that tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen.